is Scroll, the University Fellowship Church podcast. My name is Chris Moore. We get together twice a week and we chew on God's word together. We talk about biblical concepts, stuff that we're wrestling with in hopes that it will bless and benefit your life. And today, believe it or not, I have drug Lou back into my office. He's been a hard man to get a hold of. Hello, Lou.
Hello, Chris.
Lou Hines is the worship pastor here at UFC. Lou Regard, is that what Lou's short for? Luthaniel?
Sure. Yeah, we could do any of those.
Lou, what have you been chewing on?
Oh, man. What have I been chewing on? Great question, Chris. Well, in preparation for this, just thinking about what have I been chewing on? And as we've been going through the discipleship series, which has been super great, one of the ones that's been impactful to me, because it's near and dear to my heart, was the sermon on learning. And so I thought maybe we could have a conversation on that as followers of Christ. Sean preached on that discipline, that spiritual practice of learning, of being a disciple of Christ. And that has been something that has been very influential and meaningful to me and has really shaped the direction of my life, but more importantly, my walk as a follower of Jesus.
So are you kind of by nature a learner? Do you find yourself as a student curious and inquiring?
You know, I wasn't always that way, but I would consider myself now for sure. And so I've spent, I think it's important to define the term when I refer to it as learner. I think even when Sean was referring to it as learning. But yes, I tend to be someone by nature who is studious with things that interest me, right? I got my undergrad in religion and philosophy, graduate degree, master's of divinity. You don't do those things unless you like to learn.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not, most people, they see books on shelves and they're like, nah, I don't want anything to do with that. Yep. Yeah. DVDs I could look at or something. real quick, before we jump into the meat of the topic, what do you find is the medium in which you learn the best? Is it a mindset thing? Is it tools? Is it specific circumstances or environments that has helped you learn? I mean, you've got a degree and you continue to educate yourself through books. I know we've talked about that.
Yeah. That's a great question. I don't know. I think I just like reading. And to some degree, as we talk about big picture spiritual disciplines, right, the ones that we're going through on Sunday morning, reading to me is almost a spiritual discipline. There are times when I don't want to do it, and I sit down, I crack a book open with something that interests me, and after I've been reading for a while, I come away from that feeling better. How it does something to my brain and to my thoughts and my processing that way. I think that there are a lot of ways that we can do that in this culture, whether it be through podcasts or educational videos, whatever, YouTube. But I think that there's something active that takes place in our thinking when we actually have to sit down and crack open a book.
Absolutely. Yeah, I find one key piece of learning for me so that I'm not mindlessly consuming, because I can trick myself into thinking I'm learning, right? I liken it to reading the same line over and over again. You know, you've been reading for an hour or something, your eyes are getting heavy. Like, I don't have any clue what this paragraph's about. I find the trick that I use is trying to incorporate some form of reflection, summarizing, synthesizing, writing it down. If I can get in one sentence what that thing was about, then I can help kind of cement it. So
yeah,
that seems to be a helpful tool.
Oh, for sure. I think that there is, that is a often neglected piece of learning. Just so you talk about, we can crack open a book, or we can listen to a podcast, we can watch a video, and we just assume that we're learning.
Yeah.
That we're taking it in.
I did the thing.
Yeah. I know the thing now. But that's not the case there. That's what I talk about for me, for reading is like a discipline. And there's an active participation that, I take place whether it be, just a book or, or even talking about as followers of Christ, the Word of God.
Yeah. Right?
That there is an active participatory element. Yeah. So as you mentioned, you know, reflection, and they say that one of the best things you can do is take the information you learned, right? Summarize it, like you said, and then turn around and apply it. Like, what difference does it make in my life?
Yeah.
And that's actually, as I was reflecting on learning, you know, we often think of it in the terms of learning of, yeah, acquiring knowledge. Or we could even say acquiring skill sets, that sort of thing. But what does it mean to be a disciple or a follower of Jesus? And I think so often, at least in the Christian circles that I run in, we always think of that in terms of like, I need to know more theology.
Sure.
I need to know more about God,
mm-hmm.
which certainly isn't bad.
Mm-hmm.
But as a follower of Christ, I think it means that, but it means more. And it means, okay, when you look at Jesus, he talks about what, but he also talks about the how. Like, what am I supposed to do as a follower of Jesus?
Yeah, and that seems to be the piece that gets missing a lot of times, is the how and the why.
Mm-hmm.
We tend to equate, like you said, simple acquisition of knowledge as the thing that, whether we've tricked ourselves into thinking it's meritorious, you know, mm-hmm. we get more from God, more favor, more love, more blessing, or we gain some mastery over a skill like apologetics or teaching. When, I mean, I think we could look at scripture and go, okay, well, the Pharisees and Sadducees were obviously masters of the craft.
Yeah.
They were familiar with the Torah and the law.
Yeah.
And obviously there was a piece, essential piece that was missing. I think of Romans 9 talks about it, you know, that Israel pursued righteousness by works mm-hmm. and the Gentiles pursued righteousness by faith. Mm-hmm. So there's some element in there that you have to apply.
Yeah. 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 And then, you know, James, you know, I'll show you my faith by my work. So there's mm-hmm. this part of doing, and you know, you talk about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and man, they kept the law mm-hmm. and you see Jesus, getting to quite literally the heart of the matter.
Yeah.
Right. And,
Bible pun, everyone, you're welcome.
yeah. So you see Jesus getting to the heart of the matter and, you know, we can talk about learning, knowledge acquisition, theology. That's great. And there's Bible nerds out there who love that. And we can talk about doing, and following Jesus. But when we follow Jesus, Jesus calls us to something deeper and learning at a heart level. And so I've just been reflecting on that. And I actually spent some time praying about that this morning, on my walk. And, you know, one of the ways that I liken that to is my relationship with my wife. I think that there's a lot of a meaningful applications, illustrations we can pull from our relationship with our spouse.
Yeah.
And so one of the ways is, you know, God tells me to love my wife. And I do think that there is an emotional component to love, for sure. Mm-hmm. But sometimes, as any married person, it knows that there's not always that emotional component. So what do I do when I don't feel that, but God tells me to? Well, I do it, right? But along...
Seems too simple, Lou.
Seems too simple.
You just do the thing you don't want to do? What is this?
Right. And these are obviously like broad brush strokes, but... Yeah. You know, I want to be obedient to God and I want to follow Jesus. Jesus calls me to love my wife. God calls me to love my wife as Christ has loved the church. But getting to the heart of the matter, then what do I do with those emotions? Well, I do believe that there are times when we can act our way into a different way of feeling. So, and what I mean by this, just anecdotally from my own life, is I want to obey God, so I love my wife, even if I don't feel it. And then what I find is that usually I start feeling that love towards my wife.
Yeah.
Right? And so, I don't know, just thinking about this learning part, you know, I know that people will listen to this podcast. They're probably not all of them Bible nerds. If you're great, if you are great, continue, fan that flame. But if you're not, know that learning, I think, is also about, man, how can I follow Jesus? And, you know, those really silly WWJD bracelets. I'm not going to condone those necessarily on this podcast, but there is this mentality of, man, I want to live my life as if Jesus was in my shoes, you know? And I think that's, in my mind, what it means to be a follower and a learner of Jesus.
Yeah, there's a sense of humility that I think is intrinsic in learning, but also just the countenance of a learner, where you are at, in this context, you are at Jesus' feet, you're inviting the Spirit to do surgery on your heart. You know, you're admitting you don't have the tools, you know, you're doing the steps you can, but I think there is a real humility that comes with something like this, just like in marriage where marriage, parenting, your boss, whatever, there comes like a visceral moment and then a bajillion more visceral moments where you feel your flesh just like come out and you don't want to do the thing. You want to love your wife. You want to be spiteful and leave the clothes on the floor because, you know, the cleaning you wanted done hasn't gotten done, whatever it is.
Right.
But with something like this, like there is a sense of, okay, Lord, like I am at your feet. I'm a student of what you want to illuminate to my heart and the work that you want to do in me through learning and through a variety of other formats.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I think that humility piece is hugely important because when we are committing to obey Jesus, we're saying that we don't know everything and we're choosing not to take, if I can allude to Genesis 1 or Genesis 3, we're choosing not to take that fruit from the tree. We're choosing to say, no, God, I'm going to follow your ways rather than in spite, leaving the dirty clothes on the floor or whatever. We're going to humble ourselves and say, no, God, I'm going to be obedient to you and what you're telling me to do.
Absolutely.
For sure.
So what does this look like in somebody's day in and day out? I think we would both probably encourage everyone to obviously pick up their Bible.
Oh, for sure.
And read their Bible.
Yep.
We'd probably also encourage everybody listening to pick up some sort of supplementary tool, whether that be a podcast or, you know, a blog that you read or daily emails from X resource, just to kind of supplement and grow your understanding of things.
Yeah.
But what other impacts do you think this should make on somebody's life?
Yeah. Well, I think some practical how-tos. I mean, essentially, we're kind of gone full circle because you talked about how, as you're reading, and let's apply this like reading scripture, that we are reflecting, and maybe you're a journaler, maybe you like to write down your thoughts as you're reading scripture. Well, maybe as you're doing that, you ask yourself the question, what difference would this make in my life specifically today? So I think, you know, going back to Sean's sermon, he said, one of the things is you just need to pick up your Bible and you need to read it. Easier said than done at times, for sure.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, I think it's a choice. And the more you do that, the more you make that choice, I think the easier it will become and the desire will start to grow and increase. And so by picking up your Bible and you know, Sean mentioned having a regular devotional time, I think that's huge. And we can often scoff at regular devotional times because it's like this thing of like the 1990s, you know, and now it's no longer popular.
You want me to do soap? What is soap?
Yeah. But I do think that there's something to be said for devoting regular daily time. And perhaps maybe I'll make the concession, maybe not daily, but just regular time with God. Because he wants to speak to you. And the primary way that he does that is through his word. Yeah. And so if you open up his word and you're journaling, you're reflecting, and you say, God, I want to hear maybe how you think I should apply this to my life. And reflect and process and think through, man, how, you know, as I'm reading through, Jesus tells me to love my enemies. Well, immediately people come to mind who I, you know, maybe don't get along with.
Yeah.
And that becomes a pretty easy application. Now, granted, that's Jesus, that's the Sermon on the Mount. That's a pretty easy application. Sometimes you're going through Numbers, right? Not going to be some like easy application stuff.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, being open and receptive, as you mentioned, humble, I think that's one of the best ways. Picking up your Bible, doing it with pen and paper in hand, reflecting, and then simply applying it to your life.
Yeah, prayerfully. I think that is another piece of it. couple of things that came to mind was just the first thing being that we, I think, don't often acknowledge that there is still something at work within us that does not want to do this. Mm-hmm. Like there is a flesh in us that is at war with the spirit.
Yeah.
And I've found in my personal life, some of the most productive changes when I look back at milestones is coming to terms with putting an understanding on why am I not getting my word? Why am I not spending time in prayer? Why am I not making this stuff a priority? And once I kind of wrap my head around the fact that this is sin in my life that is that lashes out, you know, I think of don't judge me for these references. I think of like the Marvel character Venom or Carnage or, you know, the symbiote's like lashing out. It's kind of liquid and sharp, you know, jagged and angry.
Right.
And when I can think of that, boom, I immediately know how I can pray that there's something else at work in me besides just my will that wants to accomplish this thing. And the other thing too, I think, is that we often talk about how the word of God does not return void. And there can be a real pressure to have an intellectual mastery or capacity that maybe a lot of people don't identify with. They weren't good students, or they just don't enjoy learning as far as that goes. Maybe they're hands-on.
Right.
They've got, you know, a manual labor job or something that, you know, my sweet, delicate artist hands have never even come close to. And I think that, like you said, just having the discipline to do this thing and knowing that the Spirit of God is at work as you read this, as you discipline yourself in the posture of a learner, that you can still see, you can see real growth without feeling like I've got to be real smart and I've got to understand this and I've got to be able to defend it to everybody I talk to and be able to explain it well. I think those pressures can really undermine what God is trying to accomplish through his word.
Oh man. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you brought up so much that it's just like, my brain is just going, but you know, you mentioned, you know, manual labor and there are people who are very, like tactile. For example, my wife loves gardening. I'm not a huge gardener.
No,
I like mowing the lawn because it's like instant gratification. Mm-hmm. I run this big machine over the lawn. It cuts it. That's
feel
it.
Feel like a man.
Yeah.
And you sweat on your brow and you look at your lawn with pride.
Yes. I have fulfilled my sense of manliness for the week, you know?
That's it.
That's pretty low bar.
Pretty low bar.
shoot, where was I going with that? So, there is this sense of like, there are people out there who like filling that and like being able to see, the results of what they've done, right? By tending a garden.
Yeah.
I like to think of those times when I spend in the Word or I spend reading books or if I cultivating, let's say, the mind.
Right? Yeah.
I like to think of that as like a garden.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just a garden you can't see. Nonetheless, I want to make sure that my garden is well taken care of, that it's pruned, that the flowers are growing, that it's producing good fruit. You know, another biblical imagery.
Hey, there we go.
So, you know, maybe for those people who are very, tactile, it helps to think of their mental space as a garden.
Yeah.
And man, if you can think of it in those terms, then maybe that would be helpful for those people out there. And that's how they're tending it. That's how they're taking care of it, you know?
Yeah. I've heard it referred to as viewing somebody with history in mind. Mm-hmm. That these things take time and we don't know. You know, in this context, we don't know where you're going. Mm-hmm. So we don't know what God's working on you now that's actually going to produce something in 6 months or 5 years.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And that's fruit. Yeah. It takes a while. And it takes cumulative work. I can't just work on my lawn. I can't just mow it one time a year and then expect it to be good.
Right.
I have to fertilize it. I have to mow it a lot. I have to water it.
And people call and well checks on you. And they're like, I don't know if Lou's doing okay. Can somebody send somebody over to check on him and his family?
Right.
His yard's out of control.
Yeah. And so, oh man. Anyways, so that's just where my mind was going.
That's great.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks, well, hopefully that gave you guys kind of some insight into what learning is an aspect or a facet of it and how you guys can apply it into your life in really simple ways. And I think a lot of that, as we discussed, comes down to a framework and a perspective shift mm-hmm. in what you should be expecting of yourself and what you can expect of God to do when mm-hmm. you undergo this wonderful privilege. So, Lou, yeah. thank you so much for coming on.
Anytime.
We'll see you next time. Well, thanks for listening. Thank you to our guests for coming and sharing what they've been chewing on in God's Word. We produce these podcasts and release them twice a week, so please subscribe so you don't miss out on one. And don't forget, love God, love your neighbor, and make disciples.